Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. In our earlier chapters, we have discussed in detail how important is industry relation for any organizational growth and taking it on a larger view, how it is important for a country even to have faster growth, economic development. So we have understood from our previous topics that only making rules are not going to work. We need to have a proper control and implementation. Implementation and proper control will help us to have more effective implementation of laws. So we have discussed in detail about administration or say labor administration. How do we control this overall machinery? So now let's discuss in detail how does it work in India, that is a labor administration in India. So here we cover starting from its inception till the updated laws, the labor laws and the rules designed by government time to time. Prior to 1919, the government had to make arrangement for enforcement of only a few labor laws. Now, when we talk about 1919, India was not independent. It was under British's rule. So, here few of the laws. Why 1919 is, a very significant date. So, here 1919 was the first time when few of, the Indian representatives also participated in designing laws along with the Britishers. So 1919 is considered to be inception of laws wherein Indian also participated. They also kept forward their views, their suggestions, and they were also part of designing these laws. So during that time we had few labor laws prevailing the conditions, the current situation that time. We have varieties and list of laws added after this. So few of them as discussed over here are Fatal Accidents Act 1855. In this act, generally the machinery was or the law was designed to protect the employee's benefit in case the employee or the worker meets with an accident on the workflow. It doesn't talk about accident happening outside the factory. It is accidents happening within the factory, and if the accident is because of faulty processes or machinery. So what all criteria would be considered for the benefit of the employee or compensating the employee were discussed in this act. Workmen's Breach of Contract Act. Now see, when we talk about contract, there are minimum two parties required, as you know, in a contract. That is, here we consider two parties as employer and employee. So both have certain terms and conditions, acceptance and considerations. So whenever any thing goes wrong with the contract, any of the party is not following the rules, regulations, or I can say the terms of contract, so what all will be the procedure, the method to sort out this type of conflicts are mentioned in Workmen's Breach of Contract Act 1859. Merchant Shipping Act 1859. Now here we consider all those workers who are specially in the shipping industry, and here there is also one term called as merchant. So what is merchant? Merchant is a trader. So here there are terms and conditions, rules and regulations laid down for people working in the shipping industry. Employers and Workmen Dispute Act 1860. So now here there were varieties of amendments made to this act. Now it is known as Industrial Disputes Act. So earlier while its conception it was known as Employers and Workmen Dispute. So here we are considering the dispute or the minor conflict between employer and employee, workman, worker. So this was the initial law which had certain methods or processes through which this dispute can be resolved. Plantation Labor or Immigration Acts. So here we are talking about plantation and particularly about immigrants. Factories Act 1881 and 1911. So here the Factories Act 1948, what we have now, updated, amended law. So this was first initiated in 1881, then few amendments as per the requirement of you know, the market scenario, 1911, and Mines Act 1901, which covers all the workers working under the mines. Most of these laws has been enacted by Government of India and were administered by magistrates. So here, when we talk about the Britishers' rule, enormous power and authority was given to magistrates. Now we have central government in place, we have parliament, but earlier magistrates has a lot of power and authority, and they were the one who actually, you know, were in planning and designing the laws. During the period, labor administration was piecemeal and ad hoc. So earlier, there were no certain setups made who were given proper responsibility and authority to design laws. It was all on temporary basis, because we were into industrialization process. So everything happening during that phase was for a temporary period. Now say, for example, any law which is enacted now, you know, will have its existence for a longer period of time. But when we talk about that era, they were very temporary in nature, ad hoc basis in nature. Its primary responsibility was vested in magistrates. As we have discussed, that magistrates were the one who had, powerful and authority to design law. He was the ultimate person who will, you know, authorize a person who will decide which laws will be enacted. It was the Government of India Act 1919 which for the first time defined in some detail the distribution of legislative and administrative powers between the central and provincial governments. So we have discussed why 1919 is considered to be such an important year. So here many of the Indians representative participated in the lawmaking, and here for the very first time the responsibilities and powers and authorities were distributed into two sets, that is legislative. Now what is legislative? Legislative are those sets of people who will be actually taking, collecting information, data, who will be understanding what type of laws, rules and regulations are required so that the industry can work smoothly without any disputes, and if there are any disputes, what will be the methods and machineries used for resolving these disputes. So legislative powers or authorities are those set of people who will plan and design the law. And the other part, that is administrative. Administrative will be responsible for implementing those laws. Now designing part is done, now it is a time to implement that law. So how they are going to implement this law, what methods they will use to implement this law. So that was administrative powers. So for the first time, this was divided between legislative, people who will plan, and people who will implement. Further, between the central and provincial governments. So central is still, we have central government. And what do you mean by provincial government? It is state government. So now, if we current scenario, if we go through the current scenario also, Parliament is one, central government is one who will design the law, and it will be distributed among states to have a effective implementation. Under the Act, legislative powers relating to most of the important matters vested in the central government. That means in most of the cases which are really sensitive in nature and which are to be implemented on large, which are affecting each and every state. So this type of laws were designed or planned by central government. But then there are some variations, you know, needed depending on the state, because the situations in some states may may be different. So such types of laws, their state government was also given the legislative pass. But ultimately it is the central government who will, you know, finally authorize whether this law will be implemented or this law will be enacted or not. Provincial governments, that is state governments, could deliberate mainly reserved subjects, and that too under the superintendence, direction and control of the central government. So as we have discussed that even some legislative powers are being given to the provincial government, state government in restricted areas, but that too independently state government is not having that freedom to enact that law. So it will be always under the superintendence control of the central government. Since then we have come a long way with the enactment of Government of India Act 1935. Labor administration in the country considerably improved. Now once we have spoken about why 1919 was important, because few of our Indian representatives were the part. Similarly happened in 1935. So in 1935, before we got freedom, more number of participants took place, Indian participant took place in decision making and planning the labor laws or any other laws. It was further strengthened following the recommendations of the Labor Investigation Committee. So here when we talk about Labor Investigation Committee, this was a committee set up to collect and gather data or to identify areas of improvement wherein, because of this improvement, we may have a faster economic growth. So this committee was basically to identify where some rules and regulations, the imposition of rules and regulations are mandatory. There was a spate of labor laws enacted prior to or after the attainment of independence. So here talking about 1919, then talking about 1935, and then 1947, which is a remarkable year, we got independence. So once we got independence, it was all in the control of people of India. So all the representatives were Indians. So again that was a remarkable year wherein after the period of 3 years when we were stabilized, we have new sets of laws. Factories Act 1948, Industrial Dispute Act 1947. So these are the laws which are designed and implemented by Government of India and which were totally designed, implemented by people representative of India. Labor administration acquired a new orientation with the adoption of Indian Constitution in 1950. So finally it is 1950 where we were in stabilized condition after the independence, and then 1950 again has enormous list of laws among which labor laws has a majority of participation. For legislative purpose, the subjects have been kept under the three lists. Now here again when we discuss about designing and implementation of law, so we have three parties or committees associated. So when we talk about union list, so this list or the areas in this list are being taken care of by central government only. There they do not require any further participation from state government. These are certain areas restricted to parliament only. Parliament is one who will take care of these areas and design laws. Now say for example, if I take the example of railway. So if I want to take or make any law or amend any law regarding railways, state government won't be entertained much. It is only parliament who will decide what changes or what laws or what rules and regulations are required for railway. Concurrent list. Now when we talk about concurrent list, both the parties equally discuss what type of laws are required. So some policy designing is required with a mutual consent of say parliament and the state government. And finally is state list. So, as I told you, that conditions and situation depending on different states may be different. So, your state government decides what laws and rules and regulations are, to be implemented in that state. Now, say for example, octroi duty that we pay. So, that particular decision, how much octroi duty has to be paid, what type of goods, etc., is being decided by state government. So, when we talk about, the list of laws which are under the union list, so they are really sensitive in nature and which are actually discussed on the international level by participating in international conferences, associations and other bodies and implementing decisions made there. Now, to understand this point, we take an example of ILO, International Labour Organization. So, from India, we have representatives to attend such conferences. So, there are two representatives from the government, one from the employer and one from the employee. So, these representatives, they actually go and participate in the conference. There, the member states, that means the member countries in ILO, will discuss about those sensitive issues regarding the labor, and which is actually affecting the industrial relations overall. Now, talking about child labor. So, all the member countries over there will discuss on what will be the minimum, the age of child labor, who will be considered as a child, and how we should, curb this issue so that they can enjoy their childhood. So, say for example, the age decided over there was 14 years. That means any person who is below 14 years will not be employed in any of the occupation. So now these member representatives will discuss the same and will try to enact such laws which will help us to curb this child labor in our country, because there they have accepted to that particular convention made. So here they will now design laws, rules and regulations which will be implemented so that no employer should employ below the age of 14. Port quarantine including hospitals connected therewith, Siemens and marine hospitals. So these issues are also taken care by the unions. Regulation of labor and safety in mines and officials. Industrial disputes concerning union employees, union agencies and institutions for professional, vocational or technical training, promotion of special studies or research, inquiries, surveys and statistics for the purpose of any of the matters in the list. Now here they have given an idea about a broad category they are dealing with. So they are dealing with say the disputes happening in industry and the unions. And then say any guidance, any consultations which are required, maybe on professional level or technical level, any trainings, any skill advancements, updation required. So these are some of the areas which are under the list of union list. Talking about the concurrent list, wherein parliament and the state government equally contributes towards planning and implementing of laws. Economic and social planning, trade unions, industrial and labor disputes, social security and social insurance, welfare of labor, conditions of work, PF, employers' liability, workmen's compensation, invalidity and old age pension, maternity benefits. So overall, when we look at few of the labor laws, we are here only talking about those laws which are connected with labor and they are in the concurrent list. So here they both, that means parliament and the state government, both will plan and decide what type of laws need to be implemented so that there is economic growth and social planning. When I talk about social planning, it is welfare provisions for lower class of people so that equally we grow. Talking about trade unions, what will be the mode of registration, what will be the minimum requirements to form a trade union, that all will be decided concurrently. unemployment, welfare of labor, conditions of work. That means, minimum conditions that are required in any industry, in any factory. So that together will be laid down by the parliament and state governments. Rules and regulations regarding PF, that is provident fund, which is a security, or you can say insurance. Whenever the person is unemployed, can use these funds. Whenever he is in emergency, he can use these funds. Talking about gratuity to be paid, then old age pensions, that means employers' contribution towards development of such employees, or improving the conditions of such employees. What should be the employer's contribution towards all this PF, gratuity, pension? Vocational and technical training of labor. Now, when we talk about vocational, it is generally guidance based, and when we talk about technical training, that means skill updations. Inquiries and statistics for the purpose of any of the matters specified in the concurrent list and the state list. Now, talking about state list, public order, public health and sanitation in that particular state, hospitals and dispensaries in that particular state, relief of the disabled and unemployable in that particular state. Now, whenever we are talking about this points, these are actually applicable nationwide, but then state will design such policies and laws which are suitable for their own states. A few clauses of fundamental rights and directive principles of state policy. Now, here are these two points, that is directive principle of state policy and fundamental rights, are equally applicable and are rights of every Indian. But here we are listing only those fundamental rights which are directly and or indirectly labor connected to the labor or the workforce. So we here are not discussing all the fundamental rights. We are only discussing here about those fundamental rights which are for every Indian. But when we look at it, it is more affecting the workforce the workforce and the organizations. So few of them are freedom of association. Now every individual residing in India has freedom of association. But when we talk about this point, freedom of association, in relevance to industries, what are those? Those are trade unions. That means every employee has that right, to get associated with fellow employees and form a union. So here we are, giving an legal acceptance to trade union. Earlier, trade unions were considered as illegal. Right against exploitation. So whether be any individual has a right to raise their voice against exploitation. So when we relate this with organizations and employees or employers, that is any unhealthy working conditions prevailing in that industry, say non-payment of timely wages. So this is a kind of exploitation done by the organization or the management or employer. So every employee, labor worker, has a right to raise their voice and to go through legal proceedings to get his right. Right against employment of children under 14 years of age. We have discussed this point that any person employed under the age of 14 will be considered illegal. Because now say for me, if I am under 14 years of age and I am being forced to work, it is my right to go against this, because this will deprive me to enjoy my childhood. So every child, that is the person below the age of 14, has a right to claim that he cannot be forced to work in any industry, any organization. Right against traffic in human beings. Now, human trafficking, that means compulsion, bonded labors, etc., will not be now accepted in the society. Any person has their willingness or choice whenever it comes to employment. If they don't want to work for a particular employer or organization, they have full freedom to find employment of their own choice. We are not here talking about any contracts. If there are any contracts, they can be dealt separately. directive principles of state policy, right to an adequate means of livelihood. That means we are talking here about minimum conditions that are required for means of livelihood. That may be minimum wages, equal pay for equal work and within the limits of its economic capacity and development. That means equal pay for equal work. That means if I am possessing some sets of skills or I am doing a work, a similar kind of work is being done by my fellow employee or colleague, I should be paid equally. That means there should be equal remuneration for equal sets of work. Provision for securing right to work and education. Right to public assistance in the event of unemployment, old age, sickness and disablement. Now, to deal with such issues, that is disablement, when you are unemployed or maybe, you know, taking care of a worker when it reaches to old age. So, for this, we have separate sets of laws dealing into pension, PF, ESIC, which will take care of their medical issues. Human conditions of work, that means good working conditions, decent standard of life, which can be achieved by, you know, together adopting all the measures of security, safety and minimum working or healthy conditions. Involvement of workers in management of industries. This point particularly we have dealt in earlier topics when we have spoken a lot about how an employee can participate in the decision making process of management through various techniques like TQM, suggestive schemes, suggestion schemes, etc. Securing that the health and strength of workers are not abused. Now see, sometimes a set of physical load given to one person may not be appropriate for other person, but then we cannot force that person, you know, to take the equal load taken by other person. This may deteriorate his health, physical health, and it may affect him mentally also. Citizens are not forced to enter vocations unsuited to their age or strength because of economic necessity. That means if I am not capable enough physically to perform any task just for my economic needs, that is monetary needs, I cannot be forced to do that particular work or task. Childhood of workers, children is protected against exploitation. Children to be given facilities to develop in a healthy manner, freedom and dignity. So when we are talking about children's, so here they should be, you know, given freedom of choice first of all, and then these are you know, the basic things. If we inject since their childhood, they will be able to raise their standard of living and live with dignity. The main responsibility of labor administration of the government of India vests in the Ministry of Labor. So here we are more interested in, you know, designing of labor laws, implementation of labor laws, how they are affecting the industries overall and how this industrial development will in turn, you know, help us to develop our country as a whole. The ministry presently consists of, now this they are talking about the hierarchy, or I will say a structure which is being followed. The main ministry, secretariate, 4 attached offices to the secretariate, 10 subordinate offices under 4 attached offices, 4 autonomous organizations under the subordinate offices, a number of adjacent bodies and 1 arbitration body. Now here when we talk about arbitration, arbitrate or arbitrator, what is this exactly? What is arbitration? So your arbitration is a more formal body which actually acts as a coordinator, or I will say a counselor. Whenever there is a dispute or whenever there are difference in opinion in 2 parties, that is employer and employee, arbitrator is you know, a specialized or authorized person to pass a award. Award means a judgment, a solution. So whatever award or solution or recommendation is passed by the arbitrator is binding on both the parties. It is a more formal process than the conciliation process. Now you might be understanding these concepts in detail when you deal with, you know, Factories Act 1948. What is conciliation? What is conciliation officer? So they are a bit informal in nature and their decisions are not binding. That is not compulsory, you know, to follow by both the parties. But when we talk about arbitration, it is a formal process. Arbitrator will interfere in the matter of conflict and then he will try to resolve it, and whatever the suggestions or the solutions are provided by arbitrator, compulsorily they have to be followed by both the parties. This is the center of consideration and decision of all questions relating to labor so far as the government of India is concerned. It is a central administrative machinery for, now the machinery that we have set up, that is under the control of the main ministry, and we have formed, you know, certain autonomous bodies to support this, subordinate offices to support the main ministry. So under the main ministry, what all areas will be discussed? So the formulation of labor policy, after collecting the sufficient data, observing the current market scenario, formulation, that means planning and formulation of such sets of labor laws will be taken care by the main ministry secretariat. Enforcement of labor laws, not only formulating but now implementation part will be taken care of. Now when it comes to implementation, the responsibilities are being divided on the state level. And promotion of labor welfare. So now when we talk about laws, they are the minimum requirements, right? But here we are also talking about increasing the labor standard in a standard of living of a labor in a country. It guides, controls and coordinates the activities of all organizations and agencies involved in labor administration at the center or in the states. The Government of India allocation of business rules have laid down in detail the specific subjects allotted to the ministry. The main subjects include labor policy that we have already discussed. Okay, there will be varieties of labor policies which will be designed, including wage policy. Now, what is wage policy? You know, the methods of payment of wages, the registers to be maintained depending on the type of industry, what are the minimum wages to be paid depending on the type of industry and agriculture. So all this will be decided at this level. Safety, health and welfare of labor. Safety when they are working on harmful processes, dangerous processes, when they are working under machineries. Now certain age limit to work on certain machineries, all will be discussed under this point. Social security of labor, that means PF, gratuity, ESIC Act, all this comes under social security of labor. Policy relating to special target groups such as women's and child labor, and also one is handicap is added to this section. Industrial relations and enforcement of labor laws in the central sphere. Central sphere means all over India. Education or educants of industrial disputes through central government, industrial tribunals, labor courts and national and industrial tribunals. Now when we are talking about tribunals, what are those? Now we will take an example to understand this better. Now say for example, in an industry there is a dispute or a minor conflict, you know, between employee or group of employee and employer. So what the employee will do now? The employee will put forward his dispute in the form of a formal complaint. Now there will be, you know, some committees within the industry which will be formed to resolve the dispute thereon. So that is the first level. Then second level, again there will be a higher authority to deal with this type of dispute. If that is not done, then there are tribunals. Now when we talk about tribunals, they are again a formal processes. They are small courts, we can say. Before going to, you know, a labor court, we try to resolve these disputes on smaller levels. So there are tribunals. So when we talk about tribunals, there are industry tribunals. Now say, for example, steel industry. So if your industry is falling under steel industry, there will be a tribunal, steel industry tribunal. So you can approach there, taking your complaint, that will be resolved there. If it is not resolved there in the state industry tribunal, it will go to national industry tribunal. If there also the matter is not sorted, then you can go and approach to labor court.